Redacted Media and GhostHat.net present The Film Illogical Society. On today's episode, we continue our countdown of the BBC's 100 Greatest Comedies of All Time. And now, here are your hosts, Chris Scholes and Chad Halverson.
And we're the three best friends that anybody could have. We're the three best friends that anyone could have. We're the three best friends that anyone could have. And we'll never, never, ever, ever, ever leave each other. We're the best three friends that anybody could have. I mean the three best friends that anybody can have. That's right, the three best friends that anybody can have.
Hey, well, thank you, and welcome to another edition of...
I want to say it's the late show with Chris Scholes.
Not yet. When Seth Meyers retires, next in line for that. Filmological Society, we're doing another countdown show.
That was going to be my second guess.
I figured. I knew you knew it. That's why I said it. So we've been trying to record this now for a while. This is number 97 on the list, I believe. Our fourth one in, because there's two tied for 100.
And it was the most difficult to get to watch and get together and record.
So, we're doing The Hangover today. Just a confession first here, Chad. Remember last time we tried recording?
Yes.
Do you remember how we did the episode?
The last time we actually successfully recorded? Or you were talking about like when we tried doing this a couple days ago and it was a bunch of BS?
Well, the couple days ago one, I actually gave you a flory that one.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's why you don't remember it.
No. I'm also very sleep deprived right now.
I know. What's going to be awesome is that I'm going to be that much funnier now.
Oh, yeah. Because I was so funny to begin with. Now I'm handicapped.
No, it's just that you're going to be laughing at so much more.
Man. What movie are we watching again?
The Hangover.
Okay. All right. I think I remember it.
Director Todd Phillips.
Todd Phillips. He was the king of 2000, from like 99 to, I guess, when this movie came out.
Well, right. I mean, you may remember him from Hangover Part 2 and then Hangover Part 3.
Well, when you got a good thing going and people are going to throw money at you.
Right. I mean, keep it going. What else did he do?
Todd Phillips did Old School, but before that he also did Road Trip.
Yep. He did
Tom Green and all those people from the early 2000s.
For those of you listening that don't remember Tom Green, don't look him up. He has disappeared, which I think is better for everyone. Starsky and Hutch he did, School for Scoundrels.
You know what? Starsky and Hutch, it wasn't bad. I mean, we loved Owen Wilson. We were still in love with
Vince Vaughn.
Freaking Ben Stiller. It's fun. Vaughn.
Yeah, I mean, it's a good buddy. They're good buddy.
Did you see War Dogs?
No.
That was his new one. I actually enjoyed it. It was pretty good.
Okay. Add it to the list, everyone. War Dogs. It's not on this list, though, so it'll be a different list. Yes. All right, so do you want to give the quick synopsis of The Hangover?
Okay, so bear with me, people. There's this thing called Las Vegas, and apparently when you go there, what happens there stays there, which could never be truer than what happens to our heroes in this journey. So essentially, there's a group of four guys, the main guy, the brother, not the brother, the best friend, he's getting married, so he invites all his friends from, you know, name a time way back when. And they go to Vegas, they're like no holds bar, they wake up the next morning, the groom is missing, and it's a kind of like Scooby-Doo mystery on where the groom is, because they have, you know, a day and a half before the wedding starts and they have no groom, and hilarity ensues.
Well, and to be honest, I think hilarity did ensue. I mean, this movie did so well.
Oh, yeah.
It was the breakout movie for a couple of the stars. Bradley Cooper.
All of them.
Yeah. Like, Zach Galifianakis. Ed Helms is building, and I don't think he shot out like Zach Galifianakis or Bradley Cooper did, but...
No, but Ed Helms, he had just gone on from The Daily Show to The Office, so yep. he was getting more popular. Bradley Cooper was in that summer movie. He was the gay guy.
Well, he was in Wedding Crashers.
Well, he was in Wedding Crashers, but before that, like one of his earlier roles. Man, hold on, give me a sec here.
There was only somewhere we could look.
I know. Hold on. Christ.
He's just not that into you?
Wet Hot American Summer. That was one of his breakout roles. And that was like 2001. But, I mean, Bradley Cooper really didn't become a household name until, I think, after this movie.
Yeah, this movie brought him to a new level.
Also, Ken Jeong.
Ken Jeong, yes.
Who was originally a doctor in a former life and all of a sudden decided to become an actor.
Can you imagine that? Being a doctor, and a good doctor from all anything that you hear, saying, I'm going to be an actor now. An actor.
Monty Python, John Cleese and his partner, his writing partner, John, who's the one that died?
Chapman?
Man, I'm
Graham Chapman.
Yeah. Graham Chapman and John Cleese were both in med school. That's when they met, when they were at university. So
when med school was more affordable and you could drop out more easily.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, and they called it university, too, because they were in England.
Right.
It wasn't college.
That's true. Yeah.
Sounds fancier. More expensive, but fancier.
So you also had some, good roles for Heather Graham. Wisconsin's own Heather Graham.
Oh, I always forget that.
Rob Riggle. Mike Tyson.
Yep.
Mike Epps. And Jeffrey Tambor.
Yeah, Jeffrey Tambor. Which...
He always is enjoyable, regardless of what you're watching.
True.
Go ahead.
Oh, I was going to say, I mean, Matt Walsh, I was telling Kate, I was trying to explain to her Upright Citizens Brigade.
Oh, yeah.
Because we were also watching the Parks and Rec, and there's a ton of Upright Citizens Brigade people on there, but Matt Walsh is still one of my favorites.
Yeah, he can play that role so well. The asshole role.
And in true to nature, too, Todd Phillips puts himself in all his movies like Hitchcock, so he was the guy in the elevator with the really bad perm.
That's right.
Coming up from down under, if you know what I mean.
His name in the film is Mr. Creepy.
And if I'm not mistaken, that might be his name in every one of his films that he does a cameo in. I'm going to quick double check that, but...
So, and I will say this. So the one actor we haven't talked about... And when I first saw the movie, I actually felt bad for him because I had no, you know, I'm going into this movie. It's gotten some rave reviews, but I had no idea what it was about and what all happened and all that. Mm-hmm. But I remember seeing Justin Bartha in another role, and I liked him as an actor. I thought he was a good actor. I'm like, oh, this is great. This is a movie that's going to, you know, shoot him up in stardom.
Yeah.
And he's in the first 5 minutes, and then he's in the last 5 minutes.
Yeah, it kind of sucks for him, because he's the crux of the whole story, but he's in, what, 10% of the movie?
Yeah. Yeah, he just disappears.
Well, and I mean, when you're dealing with, I mean, so both Ed Helms and Zach Galifianakis, well, Zach Galifianakis is more the big foil in this one. He's the wild card, but
right.
Ed Helms is too. Because Ed Helms is going to be Ed Helms, and Bradley Cooper is just a dick. So those are your three, I feel like if Stu or Justin Bartha was in it, it just would be too much. And plus, I don't think he has the personality.
Oh, I completely agree. I mean, the right choices were made. It was just me going into it, and I felt bad for him and his character. Like, oh, he missed out on all this fun. He could have, and then you see the pictures and actually. Yeah.
You know, can I say one thing about this movie? Rewatching it was great because I hadn't seen it since probably 6 months after it originally came out. But this was a prime example of a movie being overhyped for me.
Okay.
Because when it first came out, I don't know why I didn't see it right away, but I mean, it came out and everybody was talking about it. It was quoted for the next 2 years. It was one of those movies. And it took me a while. And I don't like getting on the bandwagon train when, you know what I mean? When everybody says it's the best thing ever. Yep. That's not true. There's no way it can be true. And I watched this movie and it's funny, but I remember watching it the first time and being disappointed because all my friends had ruined all the good jokes or at least all the sayings. I'm like, oh, that's where that came from. Great. I'm glad I didn't get to see that in the moment, you know?
Yeah. You know, and when we get to, I think Austin Powers is on this list.
Oh, Jesus.
And that's one that it happened to me on where I heard too much about it already. So
do you get mad, like, even nowadays, where you're, like, in a public place and somebody says, yeah, baby, and you just want to punch them in the face? Well, not that those movies are bad, but, man, it's 2018.
Yeah. And I'm sure we'll be quoting it once we watch it again. We'll be like, oh, yeah, I remember how good that was. Okay.
Dude, I can quote that whole first movie. I watched it so many times. And that's sad. I will admit that.
And no one talks about your life at that point. It's okay. You can. I think that's one thing about this movie, though. It was kind of under the radar. It came out in
2009.
It was kind of under the radar. It was a summer R-rated comedy, which
never traditionally does well.
Right. Never traditionally does well. I mean, they have a certain expectation. Mm-hmm. But this may have been one of the top, if not the top, movie of 2009.
Well, and I mean, you couldn't have picked a better person to do it, because Todd Phillips with Old School and Road Trip. I mean, not that Road Trip was a huge success. Old School definitely was. And that was a rated R comedy. And it was very rare to make a rated R comedy and succeed more than once. The fact that he did it once was amazing. So I guess in retrospect, it shouldn't be surprised that The Hangover was this well-received, but I think it had been so long up until that point that Todd Phillips had done anything of, like, not of worth, but I think he kind of bounced out a bit after Old School.
Well, and you figure that this is, you know, with Old School, you had some established actors. You had some established comedic teams. You know, you had a Wilson brother and Vince Vaughn. That's going to win you every time in the 2000s.
Yes, especially in the 2000s.
Right. You know, where this one, there wasn't that actor. You know, like Zach Galifianakis was known as a stand-up comedian, but he hadn't really made a breakthrough in film yet. Bradley Cooper was kind of a side actor. He wasn't that main actor, mm-hmm. the central actor. And obviously Ed Helms had TV, but he didn't have any films either.
Yeah, TV's vastly different from, I mean, if you're an actor, it's vastly different.
Yeah.
I mean, TV to film.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that's clouding. We can talk about that when we get to a different episode, because I think there's some other examples. But I first need to correct myself before all the people quickly start trolling us. The Hangover was number six. Number six. 2009... there was this little film, you probably forgot about it, it's called Avatar.
Yeah, I was going to say, I remember 2009 being a big year, I just couldn't remember why.
Yeah, so the top five movies of 2009, this is quite a list. Avatar, Transformers Revenge of the Fallen, Harry Potter and the Half-Blood Prince.
Okay.
The Twilight Saga, New Moon.
Oh, goody.
And Up.
Oh, see, there's a reason why I like 2009.
The Twilight Saga. Yes, I know. But yeah, I mean, what a year for films. But this is definitely the top comedy of the year.
Yeah, I mean, it definitely didn't do Avatar numbers, but I do remember...
Not many do.
Well, whatever. Again, that's a different discussion for a different podcast and how much I hate that movie. But, I mean, I'm trying to find the... What was the total? So the total budget was $35 million. Modest. I mean, that's a good budget for a comedy.
Yeah, it's a solid budget. Yeah.
That's a pretty good budget. Opening weekend, it made its money back, and the gross domestic was $277 million. Worldwide was $467
million. I remember that movie because, again, I had at the time I had no interest in seeing it because I just like, it didn't really engage me at all. But then you see it like weekend after weekend after weekend, just kind of building and getting bigger and bigger. It's like, oh, maybe this is worth seeing.
I hesitated to watch it at first because just based on the preview, I mean, not that I didn't like Todd Phillips' earlier movies, but he does tend to make like frat boy, you know, movies. And at that time, I just wasn't like heavy into drinking or the whole Vegas experience. So I was like, oh, it's a movie about Vegas. Who gives a shit? But I was totally wrong. Like it's dumb in certain ways, but it's funny and I don't know. You care about these characters and their quest, and really that's all you want from a film is to be emotionally invested. And I think it does a good job of doing that.
Well, and think about that for a second. When you had mentioned before, like Bradley Cooper's character is an asshole, Phil. Mm-hmm. Stu is kind of, you know, that's Ed Helms' character. He's
a pushover.
He's very much a pushover. I mean, his fiance or soon-to-be fiance is totally dominating him.
Yeah.
And
then Zach Galifianakis is the wild card. Yeah, like, he's just...
Right. He doesn't have any friends there. You know, he's just meeting those guys. But now they're all part of a wolf pack. So. Okay. So, let's go on a bachelor party to Vegas.
Yep.
Which one of these guys are you? Phil, Stu, Alan, or Doug?
Alan.
I was going to say you are not Alan.
What?
I would not give you an Alan.
Oh, okay. Who am I?
I would put you more as a Phil or Doug.
See, I don't think I'm as cool as Phil. Like, I mean,
Phil is cool.
He's cool because he's an asshole. And it's very hard to pull off cool asshole. And here's the reason why he redeems himself. Because in the beginning, you meet him. He seems like he's a teacher, or not seems like he is a teacher, and he seems like he cares about his kids and, you know, whatever. But then you find out he just snipes a bunch of their money for a fake field trip to bring to Vegas. But after we see his character, you know, develop over time and we get to the end, the first thing he does after the wedding is, like, kiss his wife and hug his kid. And you're like, oh, well, he must not be as big of an asshole as we think because he's got a family that loves him. I just thought that... Just because his character is such a dick, I feel like that was a nice tie-in at the end to be like, oh, he's also a family man and does care about, you know, people.
Oh, I mean, you look at him, he redeems himself. Stu, Ed Helms' character, he completely turns around as well. I mean, he gets a backbone. He stands up for himself.
He marries a stripper.
Right. Who has a baby.
Who has a baby.
Carlos.
But like he's brought out of his comfort zone. But that's where you get the best character turns is a character doing everything they normally wouldn't. I mean, it's
right.
It's screenwriting 101. And in the end, he ends up standing up for himself after, you know, going through this ordeal where he was really the only voice of reason out of the three of them. He was really the only voice of reason. But I think he had the most. Successful journey out of all of them.
And that was, you know, and that leads us to Hangover 2, but we won't talk about that.
I never saw 2 or 3 only because I just know it's very rare that the sequels are ever better than the first, and because I had already given myself the benefit of the doubt on the first one, I have yet to, and I heard the second and third one are just turds anyways. But, you know, that's really not giving it a fair shake. Maybe I should watch them.
The second one is well, let me take a step back before we get into two and three. From the previews, I just thought it was going to be just a bunch of, like, stupid jokes, stupid things happening to these guys in Vegas, where there isn't a lot of growth for the characters. You know, you look at some of the other movies, like Old School, Luke Wilson's character grows.
But
nobody else does.
Will Ferrell doesn't. He regresses.
Yeah, Vince Vaughn doesn't grow at all. Yeah.
No.
So, I mean, when you look at a lot of Todd Phillips' movies, like, it's just a bunch of frat guys or whatever having fun.
Yep.
But this movie, I think, had a lot more heart in it. You know, because it starts out, you know, like, again, it kind of starts out a little slow and they're trying to figure it out. But when they feel that Doug is in trouble, you know, they're doing everything they can to help the guy. I think makes this movie probably Todd Phillips' best movie, not only gross wise, but probably story wise.
Yeah, that's a good point. I don't think you're probably right. I'm sure Hangover did way more than Old School did, because I think Old School at that point was his highest grossing. Let me see.
So yeah, and can anyone play a bitchy girlfriend better than Rachel Harris?
Oh, she's so good.
I love her.
She is
amazing. Like I was talking to my wife as we were watching this. I'm like, you know, she was in that other movie. She's been in a lot of movies where she plays a mom.
Yeah,
the diary of a Wimpy Kid. You know, and she's a very nice mom there and all that. But in The Hangover, it's like she is so good at that role. Like she just owns it.
Oh yeah, I'm trying to think of where else she plays a really good bitchy person. I remember her. She was, because I think she still is. But she's married to Thomas Lennon. I think Thomas Lennon and her are still married.
Oh, wow.
And Thomas Lennon's one of the head writers and stars of Reno 911.
Yep. And he was on The State.
Yep. But she was she played a recurring character as Lieutenant Dangle, his character's wife, on the show. So... But I don't know. She's one of those actors that has been in a lot of stuff.
Yeah, absolutely.
And not that to be a star, you have to, like, you know, be in the same thing for your entire career. But, I mean, she's had a very, very robust career, and it's good to see her just be amazing.
Yeah,
and
she's a very successful actress. Like, she can do this for a living, no problem. Like, she's getting work all the time.
Oh, I was wrong. She wasn't married to Lieutenant Dangle. I just pulled that one out of my ass. I completely lied to you.
That was in your hope chest. Hey, you know what? We both lied tonight, so that's good.
Yay. Lying keeps us honest.
So the other role I'd like to talk about is Mike Tyson. This was his first...
Cameo
acting role. I mean, mm-hmm. He's playing himself, so it's not, like, tough.
No.
So this is 2009. So Mike Tyson's career is done, like, as a boxer.
Yeah,
right?
He
is well done. This is after, you know, he was disgraced. I mean, he had...
The blood was dried from the ear that he ripped off.
Right. I mean, he bit ears, but, you know, he had sexual, rape charges against him for a while. He was in prison and he came out.
That's right.
So he had a very rough... a few years there, and then, probably in the late 90s, early 2000s is when he bit Evander Holyfield's ear twice.
Like you do. Yeah, he did it. I just want to go back then. He not only did he do it once, he did it twice. That guy is insane. Sorry, go ahead.
Well, he's also persistent.
Well, I mean, I guess you have to be if you're a boxer.
Right. But so apparently for this role... this is the role, like, it was after his reception from this movie. And by the way, he's got one of the best scenes because as he's singing Genesis.
Yeah, yeah.
And he hits Ed Helms' character perfectly. This is what cleaned him up. Like, he saw he had a chance to entertain, to do something else. And he decided to clean up, not do heroin or cocaine or anything that he was doing anymore. So that's a good feel-good story for this, right?
I mean, I definitely remember, like, that's the scene that everybody loved was, you know, him singing Phil Collins in The Air of the Night. I will say his cameos, I mean, he's got two scenes, main scenes. They take me out of it because he's okay. And there's a lot of cutting there to hide the fact that he sucks at acting.
Yeah.
But dude has what? He's got a cartoon show on Adult Swim now.
Yep.
I mean,
hit a Broadway show.
Yeah, like, I can't. People like him as an actor, so I can't deny him that. I just.
This is the first one.
Well, and that's the thing. I'm sure if they made this movie now and he had, you know, 10 plus years of acting under his belt, it'd be completely different. It's like The Rock in the Mummy sequel. Like, he's just.
He's just terrible.
Awful. He's just awful. But. You know, you hire him enough times and he gets enough work and he learns his craft better. Dude's one of the funniest guys out there. Have you seen the new Jumanji?
No, not yet.
Long tangent here, but man, I will pretty much watch anything with Kevin Hart and The Rock in it because they're great. Anyways, back to this movie.
But you know what? It's funny that you brought up Jumanji because I was going to bring that up as well. It's kind of a comparison of that comedy that's kind of a slow excitement and it just ramps up. I mean, it was competing. It came out a week after Star Wars.
Mm-hmm.
And after 2 weeks, it was beating Star Wars, which, yep. Not many movies can A, say that, but B, it was out for 3 weeks.
Yeah. Well,
and it became number one.
Didn't Star Wars take one of the biggest dips ever? From weekend to weekend, if I remember the article correctly, like whatever its second weekend or from first to second weekend or from second to third, it took one of the biggest dips of Star Wars movie has ever done.
Yeah. Well, I think that's one of the, you know, people had seen it so much. I mean, it made money. It made money.
Oh, of course it's made money.
And, you know, and yeah, but it's amazing. So I would say that with this movie, because I think this movie kind of surprised too. I mean, Were you intrigued at all when you heard that they're remaking Jumanji?
At first, I'm like, ugh.
Exactly. And I think that's most reaction. And then you see who's in it, it's like, oh, okay, you know. But I would say that The Hangover was similar.
Yeah, I agree. Sorry, go ahead.
Well, I was going to say, another staple of Todd Phillips, the Dan Band.
Of course, the Dan Band.
The Dan Band.
Do you want to explain the Dan Band?
I'll let you explain the Dan Band. I want to hear your story.
So, in most of his movies, Todd Phillips employs. There's at least one scene dedicated to this band. In Old School, they were in the beginning when Will Ferrell gets married.
Yep. Starsky and Hutch are in that.
They're in Starsky and Hutch at a bat mitzvah. And in this one, they're in the wedding at the end. And the running gag with this band is they'll cover songs, but like very vulgar. Not vulgar songs, but in Old School, it's a turnaround. And he just, you know, he adds a couple swear words. And we're talking about like this super nice wedding with a bunch of family and friends around. And they're like being vulgar and dry humping the mic. And it's a very Hitchcockian thing that... Not Hitchcockian. It's a callback that Todd Phillips does with. I don't think they were in War Dogs, which I was super disappointed about, but they are in most of his comedies.
Yeah, they're definitely in a number of them.
Yes.
And yeah, they've had they do a lot of a lot of songs very, very dirtily.
Dirtily. Yeah, they're good too. Like, that's the thing. It's not like it's a shitty cover band. Like, they're really good. I mean, I would hope so. They're in a movie, but
what?
I don't know. Are they?
They're an actual comedy band. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, the Dan Band comedy, Danfinity, blah 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 blah. Yeah. Okay.
What I find funny is that it's basically the same joke in all three of those films. Starsky and Hutch, The Wedding Crashers, or Old School, I'm sorry.
Yep.
And then this film, where they're singing kind of a slow song and they're dancing, and they say something dirty, and someone goes, "What?" and kind of looks at them.
Yeah, just turns their head like, did he just say what I think he said?
And then they're brought back in by their partner to dance more, and then they do that double take again. It's pretty good.
Well, it's one of those things where the reactions are always like, wait, did he say that? Should I say something? Well, everybody's going with it. I guess I'm just going to just be the odd one out here and just go with it. Okay, sorry. My phone just decided to play Pandora. Okay, I'm good now.
Okay. All right, and that's it for our music break. We're a variety show now.
Yeah, we can't afford to pay Rolling Stones for that song, so.
Right. So that was Trundling Pebbles. Trundling Pebbles.
Yes.
All right. So the last person I want to talk about, we kind of talked about him already, Ken Jeong. Because I think Ken Jeong is someone who rubs some people the wrong way.
Yeah.
He kind of, I think sometimes, for me, sometimes he goes for the easy jokes. So, which means like he hits a lot of like the stereotypes.
Yeah, which a lot of people don't like because they think it's, you know, I mean, when you really get down to it, it's a white director with a couple white guys writing a part for an Asian actor. Have whatever argument you think that needs to be had. I'm not saying you're right or wrong, but I do remember another thing that I didn't like about this movie at first was specifically not his character, but that scene when you're first introduced to him.
Not enough like of his penis? You didn't see enough of his penis?
Well, I mean, Ken, you've got a rockin' penis. Don't get me wrong. I just think that...
He does listen.
A lot of people, when I would hear, like, oh, why is the reason that you like that movie? They're like, oh, this crazy Asian guy just hops out of the trunk. And I feel like his character is a little more than that, even though his character is very superficial and just there to be a dick. But on the same coin, he's an actor. And, I mean, he wouldn't do it if he was uncomfortable with it. Not that I'm saying actors have done things that made them uncomfortable but knew they had to do it regardless of the job. But I think this movie was also made almost 10 years ago. So, and I think the political climate has changed a little bit more. The way we look at how we cast in Hollywood is sort of starting to change. So in retrospect, it was still a little weird, but knowing the career he's had because of this movie makes me forgive it more that he's just like a crazy Asian guy.
So, and I would totally agree. Like, I enjoy him a lot more in Community, the TV show Community.
Yeah, I know you love that show.
It is a great show. It's one of the best ever. One funny story. And then we'll start talking about two and three. But so I had read that like there are discussions on whether or not he would come out of the trunk naked.
Uh-huh.
Like, you know, everyone's saying, you know, you don't have to do that. You don't have to do that. And he's like, okay. So he goes in the trunk. So they didn't know if he was coming out naked or not.
Okay. So it was like an option like, hey, just do whatever you need to do.
Yeah. So he decided, I'm doing it. And then for the TV version, now tell me now, I know you've done a lot of editing and you've done special effects in films. In the television version, they added underwear to them.
Ugh. Sounds expensive.
Yeah. How would you like to roto that? Roto out his penis.
I mean, I guess there are worse things to roto out. I mean, it could be like Like, if the penis was too big, I'd probably be mad at that.
Right. Right. Yeah, you didn't get enough background. I can't make it look good. go ahead.
No, I was going to say, I mean, kudos to nudity is never an easy thing to do for any actor. And nudity is normally something we think, oh, the ladies do because they just take their tops off. And then we're like, yay. But
yes, we are.
I think in this case, the fact that it's like obviously a comedy and him as an actor, he probably knows that the joke will play better if he is naked. I mean, kudos to him. Yeah. I don't know if I could ever do that. But then again, to get paid what Ken Jeong probably makes now, I'd probably take my pants off for anybody. Well, if asked.
And this is a quote I heard. I'm not sure if it's from the drummer of No Doubt or an actor or someone, mm-hmm. but male nudity is always funny.
Oh, yeah.
Like, when a man is naked, it's always funny. When a woman is naked, it could be dramatic, it could be comedy, it could be anything because they are so talented that they can pull anything off. But if a man's sitting there naked, it's going to be hilarious to look at because it's so awkward.
It all comes down to, physical, how the difference between men and women. Women are good looking. They have curves. Every woman's different. They're soft. They have, you know, nice features. But you look at a dude, I mean, yeah, there's good looking dudes, but look at 99% of the dudes that live in the world. They're all, you know, homely, unkempt. Maybe not 99%, more like 98%, whatever. My point is, the penis is an ugly organ. Like, it's ugly, and the reason why we laugh at it is because it's so ugly. And it's, I don't know, men naked, it's just the hair and all the extra things that come with it just make it funnier.
I find it funny how the dad bod, the trend of the dad bod, is an overweight guy. You know, and you look at TV shows and, you know, like whether it be cartoons or real life, you have a goofy looking guy with a gorgeous wife. And I know that's true for both of us, but it's just funny how I mean, it's like, oh, I wonder who's writing all this stuff. Must be men.
Normally is.
Yeah, I know.
It's changing. Don't worry.
It is. Oh, absolutely. So followed this, it was The Hangover Part 2, which I did see. That one was in Thailand, I believe.
Yeah, and then 3 goes back to Vegas, right?
Yep, and I did not see 3. So when I saw 2, it's basically a carbon copy of this one, except now it's Stu getting married to not the stripper who he was supposed to start dating after this.
Oh, that sucks.
Right. So not Heather Graham. And same adventures. Ken Jeong's in it again. But now, of course, he's their friend, kind of.
Yeah, because in the third one, aren't they looking for him?
Could be. I've not looked much into 3. I hear 3 is much more grounded. Less crazy because it's like, okay, we got to wrap this up.
Yeah.
But
everybody dies.
Right. Poor Justin Bartha again gets left back without having all the fun.
Aw.
Yeah, I know. It's like, come on. Can't this guy get a break?
So I think I'll eventually watch these. I mean, it's just really hard to watch a sequel to a comedy.
It can be. Unless it's a, you know, Guardians of the Galaxy Part 2 or Star Wars Part 8. It's very hard to watch. I know, I completely agree with you.
It's especially when it's like 2 years after the fact. And again, you know, Star Wars and shit was like 3 or 4, whatever. But it's always a weird sign when something really hot, you know, 2 years later, they have the second offering. Because you know that wasn't planned until that first weekend, you know?
Oh, right, right. Until, the studio came back and said, hey,
Todd.
Yeah. See all this money you made us? Yeah, we want more of this.
Yeah.
So, No, absolutely. Yeah. So I would say that this is a very enjoyable movie. Like, it was still funny. It's age. I mean, it's 9 years old now.
At least they had cell phones in it.
They had cell phones in it and a peeper.
And a beeper.
But I would recommend this movie. This is one of the better ones, I would say, that we've seen. Out of the four.
I mean, and that's also probably because it's, you know, we were actually alive when it came out. Or, you know,
we remember it.
Of mind, sound, or sound, mind, and body.
Yes.
Sound body. It's good. It's good. I stick with my gut saying, like, I think it was overhyped for me, which in turn ruined it for me for the rest of my life. It's still a funny movie to watch. But again, like, I hate going into a movies where somebody tells me all the punchlines to the jokes, and then I get there and I'm like, I already know what's coming. But it's a total Todd Phillips movie. It's got his scent all over it. It's, you know, not that he's at the end of his career, but I mean, this dude still is a big name in Hollywood. He was a powerhouse for a long time.
Oh, and yeah. He ruled the 2000s. Absolutely. Oh, yeah. I mean, this and just the ability for two or three of the actors to raise their, you know, their star power significantly. It was a significant movie in this time. I agree with you. It's probably one of those that we remember it more fondly. So we're going to do a little bit, you know, we're going to think of it more highly. And anytime you get those big fanboys or whatever that just their humor is based on quoting movies, you get sick of it.
Yeah.
And I think we're going to hit a number of those movies on the list. So this is something that we're going to keep coming back to.
Oh, yeah.
And hopefully some of the films that we didn't like maybe back because of that. Will
be funny.
We'll be funny now. You know, we'll get them.
Can I tell you something that's going to blow your mind?
Okay.
According to IMDb, Todd Phillips is directing and co-writing an untitled Joker origin movie. Because that needed to be a thing, I guess.
Yeah, because that's not...
Because Suicide Squad was awesome.
Right, and that's not something that, you know, isn't canon that... You don't really know his origin, but all right, whatever.
Well, not only that, like, I don't know. Do we need it?
We need it.
Todd Phillips, out of all people?
Well, I mean, if it's a comedy.
Yeah, I guess if Joker's going to be a traditional, whatever, man. I shouldn't poo-poo it now, but it's kind of hard to.
Hey, the Dan Band needs to work too, okay?
Oh, if the Dan Band's in it, then I'm in.
All right, so that's it for today. So leave your thoughts on The Hangover. Do you feel that The Hangover 2 and 3 are worth watching? Or should people just stick with this one? Let us know in the comments. Thank you for listening. Next time, also, we meet.
Well, so I was going to say, tell us your best Hangover story, too. I'd like to hear that, because I've got a few.
Actual Hangover?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, like what preceded the worst, you know, hangover of your life?
Oh, man, it's been a while. Okay, so this is confession time, hangovers. It's a new segment we're doing every time. It's having a confession of some sort.
Yes.
Why don't you go ahead and let me think about it.
So... I was 19.
Wait a minute.
Sorry, I was of age at 21.
Okay.
I was working at UW-Milwaukee. There was this place called Channel. It was a nightclub. And this was the summertime. after my freshman year. Sorry, my senior year. And there was this conference that came in every year that it was just a bunch of business people would come to UWM campus. They'd stay in the dorms for a week, and every night we just played music for them, and there would be an open bar. So every night, the bartender there would give us extra drinks to stay open longer because they were making good tips. And on that final night, like, we stayed open as long as we could, and we were just getting free drinks all night. It started with beer, and then they're like, hey, we can't give you free beer anymore, so here's liquor. And I'm like, oh, okay. And then we tied the night off with wine. Like, I actually, we were about to leave and punch out, and I was working. I was definitely working. I was about to punch out, and they're like, do you guys want anything else? I'm like, I want a glass of Chardonnay. So I get a red Solo cup full of Chardonnay. I chug it. We stumble down. We punch out. And I mean, I'm not proud of some of these things, but we got in a car. I didn't drive. We dropped our friends off. My friend at the time looks over at me. And I remember him saying it, but I didn't react to it because I was so drunk. But he's like, hey, I shouldn't be driving. And then he drives off. This is an awful story now that I'm saying it.
You want this? I mean, you just had a daughter born, and she will be listening to this.
That's fine. I'll teach her what not to do. I mean, long and short of it, we got home safe. We would never do that again. The icing on the cake, though, was I was sleeping over at my friend's house, and I was going to crash on his couch. We get there, and one of his roommates is watching the special features for Scarface, but it's like a two and a half hour documentary, and I just want to go to bed. And I'm so like, and you're getting to that point where you're starting to get hungover, or you're starting to get a hangover, but you're still awake. Like, I was going through that, and then I had to army crawl over to the bathroom and throw up. And yeah, that was one of my worst nights ever.
I'm shaking my head over here. You don't see it, but I am.
That's fine. I mean, I would too.
I will say, just so we're giving confessions here. So I will say that for the longest time, I thought in my life that I am hangover proof because I didn't get them. I could drink, and more, usually it was because I just kept sleeping. I kept sleeping, okay. And you know, so when you sleep it's gonna be gone eventually.
Yeah, you can sleep through it,
right? So yeah, when I started reaching into my mid to late 20s, that no longer happened because I no longer could sleep all I wanted. So. Yeah, there's a couple times where it's hard for me to remember just because I don't do that as much anymore.
No.
So, but yeah, I can't say I've ever had a roofie experience.
No. I've never blacked out. Like, I've gotten drunk. I have drank till I couldn't drink anymore, but I've never blacked out.
Neither have I.
Yeah.
As far as I remember. I mean, if I did, I don't remember it, so
I mean, one time I remember, like, everything going black because I'm just telling another stupid story. You keep it whatever you want. I think it was my 25th birthday. I was sick because the night before I had gone to see Lewis Black at Summerfest and it rained. But I was still hell bent on going to my birthday party. And I downed like a half a bottle of Dayquil and then I drank. And about 2.5 hours into it, like, I said, this is when you can still smoke in bars, and I have a cigarette in my mouth. I'm like, I stood up, I'm like, oh man, I don't feel that great. So then I go to the bathroom, and one of my friends had to coach me to puke because I told her what I did. She's like, you took Dayquil. I'm like, yeah. She's like, that'll screw you up. I'm like, I know, but I really wanted to come out tonight. So then I puked and rallied, and I had a really good birthday.
Well, I'm glad you rallied.
I mean, it's what's most important.
I mean, I do truly believe, because I've lived it before, that drunkenness is cyclical. Like, you can drink yourself sober.
Yep.
Fairly certain that's possible.
I've seen it. I've seen it happen.
I believe I experienced it once, but I can't say. So next time we meet, we are going to see our first Laurel and Hardy film.
Interesting.
The Music Box, 1932. It's a half hour short.
Okay.
But it won. It's an Academy Award winning film.
The Music Box, James Parrott. All right.
So it's our next film. So
it's a talkie then, right?
It is a talkie. Yep. Okay. Laurel and Hardy. So what I think would be interesting, and what we can focus on, is what are some tropes that have been established by these films? I mean, this is early film. This is early talkies. Yeah. Laurel and Hardy are, they're in the pantheon of greatest comedic duos of all time in film. They're two of the most famous ones. So I'm looking forward to this. I can't say I've seen Laurel and Hardy, but I couldn't tell you a single film.
Yeah, I've only seen clips. I don't think I've ever watched an entire Laurel and Hardy film.
No. So hey, kudos to both of us. So, So again, if you want to, prepare for next time and watch The Music Box with us, I think you can probably find it on the YouTube.
Do you have to say it like an old man, the YouTube, just adding the in front of it?
I find I did not agree with Justin Timberlake's character in The Social Network. Put the in front of everything. It's proper. So I'm going to go to the Facebook. I'm going to listen to music on the Pandora. And then I'm going to watch some movies on the YouTube. That's just who I am. So let us know your thoughts on The Hangover. Let us know your greatest hangover story ever. Mm-hmm. That did not result in anyone being hurt in any way, please.
No underage either, because No pictures.
And you have to actually drink alcohol, not bottles of soy sauce. So that's next time. We are going to be talking about The Music Box. So thank you, everybody.
Woo. Thank you.
How does a tiger get in the bathroom? It almost killed me.
Hey, bro, you mind putting on some pants? I find it a little weird. I have to ask twice.
The Filmological Society is a production of Redacted Media in association with Ghost Hat Media. For more information, find us on Facebook, YouTube, and Twitter, or visit us at www.ghosthead.net.